Okay, and with our apologies for the delay, we now have some folks here on an item that I want to introduce. So why don't you read the item, please, Carla.
Okay. Item 715, authorize mayor to enter into a collaborative agreement between the City Albina Ministerial Alliance Coalition for Justice and Police Reform, AMA Coalition, and the United States to clarify and strengthen the proposed settlement agreement related to police interactions with people experiencing mental illness.
Thank you. This is a community and this is a council that wants the public actively engaged in talking about police reform and holding us and the Bureau and all of us in this community accountable for a relationship of trust and consistent application of justice in this community. Those are lofty goals, and we all need to work together to make progress towards them. And I think this collaborative agreement between the Albina Ministerial Alliance and the city helps us do that. First, this agreement will codify the city's commitment to putting information about reform-related reports and meetings on a centralized website for easy public access, because this is about the people in the community, including members of this coalition, being able to know what's going on. Secondly, it allows the city to adopt a better process for electing members to the Community Oversight Advisory Board. Third, it ensures public participation in selecting the compliance officer and community liaison, a key monitoring position for this settlement agreement. Now, this agreement doesn't contain everything that the Albina Ministerial Alliance Coalition for Peace and Justice wanted. I think we'll hear that confirmed here by their representatives today. But I think it also represents real progress in the city working with the AMA to get this work done. I welcome the AMA's continued vigilance and their partnership. As the police commissioner and as the mayor, I reiterate my commitment to continue this work with the AMA coalition and any other community partner that cares about these issues on, one, the use of force and taser policies, two, on ending the 48-hour rule, on best practices to review police shooting decisions, to make up a behavioral health unit oversight committee, and look to ways that we can make those meetings public even while we keep required confidentiality for people's medical records. And then fifth, to make sure that transparency and accountability are part of all of our decisions. I'm going to personally continue to meet regularly with the coalition. Our next meeting is in September. So, again, this is a process, but this is a very important milestone in this process, and I very much appreciate the coalition's advocacy and their willingness to be here today with this proposed agreement. So let me bring up that we have six people that we want to call as, I think, a couple of panels. Maybe we'll start with Ellen Usenak, who's our city attorney working on this, State Representative Lou Frederick, and Pastor Mark Knutson, who's one of the representatives here from the AMA Coalition for Peace and Justice. We have Joanne Hardesty, Dan Handelman, and Becky Strauss lined up as well. But since we don't have that many chairs, let's bring the first three up, please. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for being here today. I'd like to extend the courtesies and give Representative Frederick the opportunity to speak first, if you'd like to do that.
Well, thank you very much, Mayor. Appreciate that. Well, thank you very much. I am very pleased to see this take place. It is a step along a path. It is not the end. And in fact, it's what's most important for me is that although we have the language, we have the agreement, we haven't seen the action yet. And I think what's more for me, I'm looking forward to seeing what the coalition does to monitor how well things are going on a regular basis. We have that as an issue, those issues. Now, I will say that it begins a process. I think that process needs to also address issues related to the militarism of the police force. I think that process needs to address issues regarding recruitment and retention. We haven't really done that. And I think that process needs to also address something that I've tried to present before the state legislature, and I'll continue to present it, and that is a regular psychological evaluation of police, not just when they are first hired, but something that happens on a regular basis. Because in my experience talking with police officers, they can tell you the worst experience that they had, but it didn't affect them. And the fact is, it does affect them. And we need to have some way of making sure that those folks get a chance to talk with someone who's a professional to deal with some of those issues. We haven't done that yet. I want to also speak to one other basic issue, and that is an issue of fear. What I find is that there's a sense of fear both within the community and a sense of fear on the force, and they are regularly supported and encouraged. This is an issue that I run into personally. I've said this a couple of times. When I see blue lights in the back of in my mirror, I immediately think, "Am I going to die today?" That's how I deal with that situation. And since I get stopped once a year by the Portland police, I had my stop apparently because of a pinhole light in my tail light in the middle of a nice, beautiful day like today, about 3 months ago. I'm always aware of that situation, and that fear is there for me on a regular basis. The fear is also there in terms of the officers. In many cases, they are told on a regular basis, not just be careful out there, as the old television show used to put it, but be really afraid of what might be taking place around you. And that fear and my fear always seem to escalate any situation before you can have an encounter at all. These are the issues that I think we need to begin to address as well, beyond the more bureaucratic and institutional things that are being suggested in this particular proposal. So that's what I'd like to find us begin to work with, and I'm concerned about that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks for your leadership on this and other issues. We appreciate it. So, Ellen, perhaps you can sketch out the proposed agreement for us, and then we'll let Pastor Knudsen begin the testimony.
I'm going to have to leave. I have a noon thing that I'm supposed to be at.
We appreciate your patience, and thanks very much for staying and for being here. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and City Commissioners. My name is Ellen Osenak, and I'm the Deputy City Attorney in your office that's assigned to work on matters related to the Department of Justice Settlement Agreement. And so that's why I'm here today, to provide you with just a little bit of background and context about the collaborative agreement that you see before you today. I'd like to begin by thanking the other attorneys with whom I negotiated this agreement. Adrian Brown, Bill Williams, and Jonas Geisler of the United States Department of Justice were models of professionalism to work with. And Ashley Albies and Shauna Curfee, who represent the AMA Coalition, zealously represented their clients in an exemplary fashion. It's been a long day, so I'll just jump right to the collaborative agreement itself. The first thing you're going to note is that the title of the agreement is a collaborative agreement. The word collaborate means to work jointly with others, and that captures the spirit of this agreement. I want to highlight three paragraphs in particular in the collaborative agreement that describe the city's commitments, and that would be paragraphs 10, 11, and 13. In paragraph 13, the city has agreed to post information related to the U.S. DOJ settlement agreement in one location on a city website. And Chief Reese will have more information for you about the city's plans in implementing that particular provision. Paragraphs 10 and 11 clarify two important components of the U.S. DOJ settlement agreement. In paragraph 10, the city commits to providing an opportunity for the AMA Coalition in particular, as well as the general public, to participate in the process the city adopts for selecting candidates for the Compliance Officer and Community Liaison, or COCL. The COCL performs the important function of analyzing the city's compliance with the U.S. DOJ settlement agreement. In paragraph 11, the city is authorized to adopt a different process for selecting the five at-large members of the Community Oversight Advisory Board, or COAB. The COAB is an advisory group made up of 15 voting members, and it's referred to in the U.S. DOJ settlement agreement. Its mission is to assess DOJ implementation, make recommendations to the city and the COCL on additional actions, advise the mayor and the Portland Police Bureau on strategies to improve community police relations, and to provide DOJ-related information to the community. Five members of that 15-member board come from the community at large, and the settlement agreement specifies a process by which we would select those members. But what the collaborative agreement does is allow the city, in conjunction with the United States and the AMA Coalition, to adopt a different process for electing those members. And Commissioner Fritz has, I think, additional information for you all. And I'd just like to conclude my comments by thanking Mayor Hales for your leadership. It's wonderful to have a client who gives such clear guidance and has such a direct vision. I'd like to thank Commissioner Fritz for your ongoing commitment and guidance that you've provided in this matter, and of course, both of your staffs who have been wonderful in supporting the work that I've been doing. So thank you.
Thanks, Ellen. Pastor Knutson, welcome. Nice to have you here, and might want to call Joanne Hardesty to come up and join you since she's also here representing the coalition.
And Dan Handelman as well.
Dan is here. Yes, we have enough seats, so please. And I think we have, if Ellen will surrender her seat, then we can also let Becky Strauss from the ACLU come up and join you. Welcome.
Thank you. Reverend Mark Knutson, Senior Pastor of Augustana Lutheran Church here in Portland, member of the Albina Ministerial Alliance Coalition for Justice and Police Reform, and a longtime member of the Albina Ministerial Alliance. And I'll be reading from our statement. Reverend Dr. Leroy Haynes, chair of our coalition, is not able to be here today, neither is Reverend Dr. T.L.N. Bethel, president of the Albina Ministerial Alliance. I do just want to underscore a historical fact. The AMA, the Albina Ministerial Alliance, has been in Portland since the early 1950s, having grown out of the African-American churches in this city. Today it's a multicultural organization still strongly based out of many of the African-American congregations and community. So it's a long history of working for civil rights, justice, reforms, police, and otherwise. And so we're glad to be here today. The coalitions get put together at various times. The current AMA Coalition for Justice and Police Reform, as you know, was assembled after the shooting of Aaron Campbell. And we came up with five demands. One of them was the Department of Justice investigation into the practices of the Portland Police Bureau. This agreement today comes out of that process to date. I think you're well aware of the other four demands, and the coalition is made up of many community-based organizations and individuals. So let me share from our statement around this. First, Mayor Hales and members of the city staff and others in the Department of Justice, we appreciate this moving forward in this collaborative agreement. We know this is a step on the way. We often say it's a marathon for which we cannot see the finish line yet, but we know we're in a process together to have a truly accountable, transparent police department that is truly a peacekeeping serving agency in this city. Let me read from the statement. The Albina Ministerial Alliance Coalition, I'll use some reading glasses for this. The Albina Ministerial Alliance Coalition for Justice and Police Reform is entering into this collaborative agreement with the City of Portland, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Department of Justice sued against the city, alleging the Portland Police Bureau engaged in excessive force against individuals with mental health issues. This collaborative agreement preserves the AMA Coalition's role as a zealous advocate for true police reform and ensures the community that the AMA Coalition will be a continuing presence for oversight and accountability in Portland. Said Dr. Leroy Haynes, chair of the AMA Coalition, we are moving in the right direction, and we are cautiously optimistic that changes will take place. The AMA Coalition has long advocated for a culture shift in the Portland Police Bureau to one of true accountability, transparency, and oversight. Toward these ends, the AMA Coalition became a part of the suit after its motion to intervene in the case, which set forth several areas in which the proposed settlement agreement did not go far enough in reforms. The court ruled on the motion by granting the AMA Coalition enhanced amicus friend of the court status in this suit. The coalition recognizes the proposed settlement agreement negotiated and entered into by the city and the Department of Justice presents an opportunity for systematic change within the Portland Police Bureau. As such, the AMA coalition has agreed not to object to the entry of the proposed settlement agreement, but will continue to work hard to ensure the reforms of the agreement are as effective as possible. The AMA coalition, however, maintains the concerns raised in its initial comments on the proposed settlement agreement as outlined in its motion to intervene. These concerns include deficiencies in the Portland Police Bureau's use of force and less lethal force, community input into police training, the Citizen Review Committee's deferential standard of review and oversight into officer-involved shootings and deaths. And the coalition maintains its concerns the settlement agreement did not eliminate the practice of providing 48 hours notice before use of force interviews with involved officers. The collaborative agreement guarantees the AMA Coalition a role in the process of selecting the compliance officer, community liaison, and the Community Oversight Advisory Board, two key oversight roles in implementation of the settlement agreement with the Department of Justice. This collaborative agreement before you also aids community-wide oversight by requiring the city will do its best to provide the public with adequate notice of implementation of the agreement and its progress towards reaching the agreement's goals. So we urge you to pass this agreement today. This collaborative agreement. Thank you.
Thank you. Dan?
Good morning. I'm Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch, and I'm a member of the steering committee of the AMA Coalition for Justice and Police Reform. I'm reflecting some of the consensus points that we discussed as a coalition and also adding some points that are coming from Portland Cop Watch as an organization. But one of the things we talked about is the transparency, and transparency is very important. The chief, in the agreement with the DOJ, is supposed to ask for input on directives from the general public. The BHU advisory committee that you've talked about, Mr. Mayor, the BHU itself, the behavioral health unit, was created without any public discussion, and then the advisory board was appointed, and the members' names weren't made public. It meets in private, and so decisions that they make, including their decision to have Officer Burton, who was involved in the death of James Chassis, be one of the people in a mobile crisis car, was not subject to public discussion or review. So we are looking forward to some kind of opening up of that process. Anybody who's seen Alien Boy knows what a person might think who has mental illness and sees Officer Burton approach them from a mental health car, sees his name tag, and knows what he was involved in previously. So we're not sure that was the best decision. Anybody who's seen Alien Boy also knows that there is a pattern and practice of police use of force against peaceful people with mental illness or who appear to have mental illness. There's no question of that. Unarmed people like James Chassis, or people carrying phone handle like Merle Hatch, or people carrying a crafts knife like Jack Collins, or people with an aluminum push rod from a door in a mental hospital like Jose Mejia. The judge will see this pattern, I'm sure. Even without the court entering the agreement, the COAB not being appointed yet, we can still find a way to involve the public and do as much of this stuff with public discussions instead of having things develop and then announce to the community and then having concerns like this raised afterwards. So the agreement allows for the AMA coalition to come back in 1 year and talk again with the city. We're hoping that this is an ongoing discussion as I'm saying, everything gets implemented. Another example is that the money for police forces, which was cut from your budget and then reinstated after a small percentage of the population offered up some funds, there's likely a larger percentage of the population who'd like to see more oversight and more than what's described in the DOJ agreement. So we would like to see that kind of thing move forward. We also have been asking, as Portland Cop Watch and the coalition, to see the PPA contract negotiations take place in a public setting. We've been asking since August when there's going to start. The mediation is over, as evidenced by this agreement happening. So we're hoping that all the discussions now can happen in public place. We support the right of people to collectively bargain for fair wages and benefits, but where things get tripped up is when it starts setting public policy, and that's what happens with the PPA agreement. The DOJ agreement talks about the IPR, our oversight body, doing meaningful investigations, but it doesn't spell out what that means. So this is an example of something that may affect the collective bargaining details, but not the right of the PPA to collectively bargain. And we're hoping that means that the judge will move forward with the settlement agreement without tying it up with the bargaining process. I had a couple other thoughts, but I think the main thing is that the training, policy, and culture of the Portland police needs to change. We need to have the citizens and police all go home safe at night. I think that's what everybody wants. And, you know, you can't order citizens to be polite and stay off the sidewalks, but you can order police who are public servants to unlearn racism, to rely less on force, and to treat everyone with respect and dignity.
Good afternoon, Mayor, City Council members. For the record, my name is Joanne Hardesty, and I am here today to speak in favor of the agreement between the Department of Justice, the Albina Ministerial Alliance Coalition, and the City of Portland. We've come a long way in what has been a very, challenging process to get to this agreement that we will all be signing today. As you said in the beginning, Mayor, there's certainly we still have some concerns and some questions, and we'll continue to provide input and advocacy around the issues that we think we have not moved far enough. Dan mentioned, and Reverend Knudsen mentioned the 48-hour rule. Even the Department of Justice said nowhere else in the country do people get 48 hours before they have to give a statement. I encourage each of you to make sure that there is not another union contract where that is a part of the PPA's contract. I think the other thing is most of you were here during the last PPA contract talks, and so I want to give an example about the what the public thinks they get and then what they really get in reality. And so I sat through the last public PPA contract talks. As a member of the public, I thought it made common sense to give police a bonus for being physically fit. And so when I sat and heard that police were going to have to meet some fitness criteria as a member of the public, I thought that means that less people will get shot because police will be in shape and they'll actually be able to chase people as compared to shooting people. Imagine my surprise a few months later when I read in the Oregonian that every single police officer got $823 for having their blood pressure taken and their finger pricked. That was pretty appalling. And I hope that you will correct that egregious error that came from the last contract while we were in contract talks this time. I want to compliment you, Mayor, because with your leadership and Baruti Authori and Gail Shipley being in your office, I, for the first time in a long time, feel like there is someone at the top levels of government paying attention to what's taking place in Portland Police Bureau. And so I want to thank you for having the right people in the right positions to move this agreement forward. I also want to thank Commissioner Fritz for her leadership and actually taking on oversight of the implementation of this settlement agreement. I want to also share that I'm a little worried about where we will ultimately be with this settlement agreement. Mr. Mayor, you weren't here, but the public had very little input into the initial settlement agreement. In fact, there was a new copy showed up the day the City Council was voting on it. That's how little opportunity the members of the public had to really review and understand the settlement agreement. At some point, Judge Simon is going to implement a community fairness hearing. That will be the first time many members of the public will have an opportunity to weigh in on whether or not what was proposed by the last City Council makes sense today as far as the settlement agreement is concerned. I'm also concerned that we keep hearing reports that a whole lot of changes have already happened. Don't worry about it. We fixed it. We put this in place. We put all these other policy decisions in place, and we fixed the problems within Portland Police Bureau. I want you to know I'm concerned that we are telling the public that somehow we're fixing problems before the settlement agreement has been filed with the federal court, and we don't have the community oversight mechanism in place to ensure that what we're being told has been fixed has truly been fixed. And so I want to thank you for the opportunity that the courts gave the AMA coalition to be a part of this effort. And I want to thank you, Mayor, and Commissioner Fritz, for your willingness to meet with us regularly and to really hear the community's concerns as we move forward to build a police department that actually serves the community with community police officers. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Ms. Strauss, welcome.
Thank you. Mayor Hales, commissioners, nice to be here this morning. My name is Becky Strauss. I'm here on behalf of the ACLU of Oregon, and we're here in support of the approval of this collaborative agreement between DOJ, the city, and AMA. Is the city engaged in negotiations over the last year or so to draft the settlement agreement. You all know that we and our coalition partners were involved at every stage to the greatest extent that we could be. We submitted comments both at council and in written form to advocate for an agreement that had any foreseeable chance of bringing true and monumental reform to the Portland Police Bureau. And at the time that council approved the settlement agreement last November, we were concerned. We did support the agreement. We believe it to be a great opportunity for change, but also raised a handful of concerns, among them being that we thought the agreement should mandate a complete overhaul of the officer accountability system rather than tinker around the edges, as we feel that some of the reforms did instead, and also that the agreement did not go far enough to ensure that moving forward, communities in Oregon, particularly communities of color in Oregon, are engaged in the work of the reform and the policies that guide the Bureau going forward. So those were some concerns. We had others, and we raised those at the time. I think that this AMA agreement right now takes some steps to address some of those concerns and push us further, take some positive steps toward addressing what we believe to be some of those initial shortcomings in the settlement agreement. Granted, they don't solve all of those problems, but they do take some important steps toward addressing them. The formalized collaboration, particularly mandated by the agreement, helps bring more transparency to the work of the Bureau and also involve Portland community members, again, particularly community of color, who we see are disparately impacted by a lot of the work of the Bureau. It's wonderful to see that this agreement does seem to acknowledge that any successful reform absolutely cannot happen with the transparency, without the transparency and the involvement that the collaborative agreement is prioritizing. And I just do want to note, we've really appreciated the collaboration with our coalition partners, and I agree with everything that's been said up until now. I think with one exception, I think that as we move forward, we do have to strike a fine balance between waiting for the court to carry through its process of approving the settlement agreement, which we're now seeing is delayed even more, and moving forward already with some of the things that we can do without the formal approval from the court. And so we're seeing from the Police Bureau, I believe, reports that they are moving forward. They certainly move forward with revising the use of force policies, and I believe that's part of new training. The chief can correct me if that's not correct. Saw that a new website, I think, just posted since we've been here this morning at council as kind of a clearinghouse for a lot of the information that's happening with the settlement agreement. So those are things, and among many others, that we can do now without the formal approval of the settlement agreement from the court to really start moving this forward. I think possibly with the exception of the police union, everyone here in Portland is ready to see the show get on the road, and we're ready to be a part of that. Thank you.
Thank you. Council members, questions?
Mayor, I have a question because I want to reconcile something. The ACLU just testified that they would like us to move forward with terms of the settlement agreement, even though there's still an underlying controversy. Joanne Hardesty raised a caution flag about moving forward with certain things without adequate oversight. So, Joanne, could you give us an example of a couple things where the city's moving forward and you have a concern? Because I'm not clear whether your concern is that we're moving forward mm-hmm. or that there's inadequate, in your view, inadequate oversight of whatever we're moving forward on.
Mr. Mayor, Commissioner Fish, it's the latter. It's my concern is that if there's no community oversight, which is really one of the primary components of the Department of Justice settlement agreement, if the community oversight process is not in place, then we're just taking the chief's word that he's doing what he says he's doing. And I don't have confidence that that would be so.
Okay, thank you.
So could I take the opportunity to ask all four of you, would you be comfortable with the enhanced community participation process that we're going to put in place, including the AMA? Is it your feeling that moving ahead with starting the process for hiring the community oversight officer is a good thing to do while we're waiting for the settlement agreement to be done?
Mr. Mayor, Commissioner Fritz, I think we have to have the community oversight piece in place. I was not recommending that we wait until the federal courts act before we could actually start the process of making the changes we know we need to make. But again, my concern is that if let's just say that they're saying 50% of the changes have already been made, if there's no community engagement process that's double-checking that data, then the public will have no confidence that we've made the strides that we say we want to make.
So getting the oversight officer in place
is key. Yes, it's absolutely key.
And
if I may, thank you,
thank you.
Mayor Hales and Commissioner Fritz. I absolutely agree with those comments, and I think among our concerns that I didn't mention before during the pendency of the settlement agreement before council was this issue of whether there's an independent monitor with the authority of the court to take the issue back to the court if we're not seeing that the appropriate implementation is happening through the city and the bureau. And so as we wait for the pendency of the agreement in the court, we are still lacking that accountability. And so I think it's a great step here to see a little more formalized accountability through the community and the citizen oversight process. But certainly, and I'm not advocating for not moving forward, but as we move forward with the very long list of things mandated by the settlement agreement, when we don't see those things happening, there isn't any mechanism to ensure that they do. And so that's why ultimately we do need the approval of the court to at least give us a little bit of that. But I absolutely think we should be moving forward.
Reverend Knutson, do you have a...
I would agree with what was just said by both those before me. I think we have to have the oversight in place in order to really see the results. And there's a number of things outside the agreement, I think, that we will continue to work with the city and the police department, diversification of the police force, for sure, where people live, things like that. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things before us, and this is a key step, but I think the oversight really is crucial.
Mr. Handelman?
The collaborative agreement sets forth a process to change the terms of the DOJ agreement itself, which gives me and my organization hope that we can do things like put the COCL, the COAB, and other things in place without the court approving it. So certainly those are among things that we hope will happen without the court's approval.
Thank you. And Mayor, if I may explain for folks at home and others who haven't been party to these negotiations a little bit more about the reference in the ordinance on the Council Coordinating Committee. With my colleagues on the Council and the Auditor, we recognize that all six elected officials on the in Portland are responsible for both oversight and implementation and improvement of this system. And so I've been coordinating with the participation of every one of the Council offices and the Auditor's Office, a committee that's been meeting to look at what is, what should be, and how we move forward in a very open and transparent manner. So the next step that I see, having heard your comments to the question that I just posed, is that I will be bringing to Council in a couple of weeks a proposal to do a different way of hiring the community oversight liaison officer than the city would normally use. Normally, we would put out a request for proposals to say what it is you're going to do. The settlement will say what it is that this person is going to do in oversight. So what we'll probably do is put out a request for resumes, which will give it a selection advisory committee, which we'll be putting together with community organizations, insight into how to do the 30-day public review process, how to select the three candidates who'll be out for the council to choose one of those candidates. And so every step of the way, we're going to be doing this, bringing things to council one at a time so that everybody can comment, so that we know what's going on, both the people who are paying attention, which I really appreciate the four of you, the amount of time that you've put into this, as have all of your colleagues and my colleagues on the council as well, but so that everybody in the general public knows this is what we're doing, this is why we're doing it, and this, because to me, that's how we're going to improve trust. And Representative Frederick talked about reducing fear, both the fear of the community and the fear of the police. That's, to me, a step along the greater goal, which is we need to be able to trust our police. Our police need to be able to trust the community that we are working together collaboratively. So thank you very much for the work that you've been doing.
Thank you. Any other questions? Dan, please.
Well, I don't know if it's a question. Maybe it's a question to Commissioner Fritz and the mayor, but so when will we have a community oversight person, and when will we have the community oversight board up and running? I've had my nominee
for 6 months now, waiting to go. And I'm hearing you say, get those people in place. And yet I'm hearing you, Mr. Fritz, with all due respect, outlining a process that's probably going to eclipse the federal judge hearing.
No, it's not. So,
so we're going to have somebody in place mid-September?
I can't give you a specific timeline on that.
We're going to have community oversight board members appointed?
The community oversight board members will stay as specified in the federal court agreement, including five, one of whom is appointed by each member of council. But the agreement also specifies that the oversight liaison officer should be in place before the advisory board is seated. So we need to do things according to the settlement agreement. We'll do them expeditiously, and now that we've got this agreement in place with three of the four parties, and let's be very clear, there are four parties that were involved in the federal court case. Three of us have the Department of Justice, the Albino Ministerial Alliance, and the City of Portland have come to agreement on this collaborative process forward. The Portland Police Association has not, and so that's why we're still going to be in federal court. But we need to make sure that we do every step of the settlement as is outlined in the settlement. So we're not...
Okay, so give me a timeline when we'll have a community oversight person hired.
Well, I can do that when I bring back the ordinance on how to advertise that position.
Yeah, I hear your urgency. I think that's a matter of weeks and a few months, not anywhere near as long as the now year-long horizon to when Judge Simon actually takes the case up again. So
weeks.
Commissioner Saltzman, you know as well as I do that doing a national advertising to get the right people to get a wide range of folks to apply can't be done in 2 weeks. So we'll.
Hey, stop, please.
So we'll be doing the process, and then we'll be advertising.
We've known we needed such a person for months.
Yeah, I guess, frankly, I've been focused on this agreement, and we're spending a lot of time on the union negotiation. Wish us luck there. I'm looking for opportunities, including that one, that is of the board and the liaison, to start putting pieces of this settlement agreement in place without a court order and without a union contract as well. So these are all operating, as far as I'm concerned, on parallel tracks, and we'll get to things as quickly as we can. Some of them, frankly, I think the union contract being one of them, are going to take longer.
I realize that. I guess, you know, my focus is on the community oversight officer and the community oversight board. We're hearing from them that these are essential foot ingredients, and it just seems like we're not moving as fast as we should.
Mr. Mayor, Commissioner Saltzman, I would just say that we as the community thought that the settlement agreement would have been filed with the federal court by now, that we would all have clear directions about where we were moving. The federal courts decided we should try mediation. We did that for some months. And so now we're moving forward, understanding that ultimately, whether it's this year or next year, the settlement agreement will be filed, understanding that immediately we've got to stop making changes in the police department that we have. And three, that the community, whether or not there's an advisory board, is paying attention to how this process rolls out. And so I appreciate taking the time to get someone who can not just work with the police, but have expertise in working with community members as well, because it has to be someone who will be trusted across those different venues. And you can't get that person in a couple of weeks. You've got to spend some time. So...
Thank you all. Other questions, comments? And before we have some public testimony, but before we get to that, the chief and his command staff are here. I want to give Chief Reese a chance to come up and address any of the points of this that you'd like to, and also respond to the council discussion so far in this hearing. So, yeah, the DOJ is here as well. So they are not, I think, empowered to testify at this point, but they're here as a resource. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. The Portland Police Bureau looks forward to continuing discussions with all of the parties involved in the proposed settlement agreement, as well as other community members. I want to thank the members of the AMA Peace and Justice Coalition, the City Attorney's Office, and the Department of Justice, who have been working hard over the last several months on this settlement agreement. Even though the signed agreement has not been adopted by the court, I believe we have a moral and ethical obligation to proceed forward with the reforms. We want to provide the best possible care for people in crisis. The Police Bureau has continued to move forward. We've designed new policies with the support of the Department of Justice and community input and internal input. Those policy changes include having supervisors respond and investigate all incidents involving the use of physical force, developing a new behavioral health unit, and improve systems of accountability, force policies, and taser policies. I want to let you know and the community know that we have DOJ-related information now in one place on our website. It went live today, so if the community is interested in the reform measures that we're taking and where we're at in that process, you can go to a link at portlandpolice.com, and there's a tab for the DOJ that'll pull down that information. Specific to some of the information you've heard today, we know that while these measures are ongoing, we're not claiming success, we're claiming improvement, and that it will be the community liaison and the community oversight board that will look at our reform measures and say, yes, you've met the mark, or no, you haven't, and there's work still to be done. I've invited Commander Sarah Westbrook, who has been leading our behavioral health unit until her recent appointment as East Precinct Commander, to come up and talk just briefly about the process that they went through in both the selection of behavioral health unit officers and the design of the program and the community oversight board. So within the behavioral health unit, we have a community advisory board, and also with our training advisory council, we have citizen oversight over the processes we're going through as we reform training. Thank you. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Commander.
Good afternoon. Our Behavioral Health Advisory Council has been doing some great work. We started meeting as soon as we created our behavioral health unit. What we did is we went through the community and selected folks who from different communities who would have different points of view, so that we could make sure that we were hearing from as many kind of eclectic perspectives as we could. There are two people from the Police Bureau on the board currently, and that would be Lieutenant Cliff Bacigalupi and me, that represent sworn staff. Our mental health professional in the Police Bureau, Lisbeth Gerritsen. We also have our newly hired service coordination team coordinator will now be sitting on that. That's Billy Kemmer. We have a representative from the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We have a representative from BOAC. We have a representative from the jail. We have two consumers. We have Felisa Otis from the Volunteers of America. We've just changed to a new representative, Kathleen Roy, from Central City Concern. We have Maggie Bennington Davis from Cascadia. We have Bill Osborne from Multnomah County Behavioral Health. He represents the commitment process and helps us understand what's happening in that world. And then we also have Jan Friedman, who's from Disability Rights Oregon. And the purpose of our group and what we've been doing so far is we meet and we're discussing, per the agreement, is to discuss about the training that our CIT officers and our enhanced CIT officers are receiving. And as a beginning, they went and watched our enhanced CIT officer training that we've put on. And they're also becoming more and more involved in just what's happening within the Police Bureau training regarding how it's integrated into our Advanced Academy and how it's what our future training will be. So it's been good dialogue, and they have been good partners for us. I'm not sure if you had any questions. I just wanted you to know that it wasn't some small group that we figured everybody would agree. We got some folks together who have opinions and state them clearly and want to create the best training that we can for our police officers, and I think that's what we're accomplishing.
Is this the group that oversees the behavioral health unit and the training functions?
There are two separate advisory committees. One is specific to the training advisory council, and that is a separate group. And then
that's not the group that she
and no, okay. Sarah's group is working on the, with the behavioral health unit in designing policies and practices and training specific to our interaction with people with mental health issues.
Okay. Commander Westbrook, you just gave the names of the people on the behavioral advisory committee. So can that be posted on the website?
Yes, I believe it can.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And so folks can go to the city to the police bureau website, and I'll also be putting a link to that site on my front page because, again, we want people to know about it. My understanding from what you just said is that the majority of the citizens on of the people on that committee are not city or county employees. The majority are community members.
Right.
Thank you. Other questions for the chief or the commander? Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, and we have some public testimonies.
Yes, we have eight people signed up. The first four, please come on up, are Joe Walsh, Nan Wigmore, and Benjamin Pickering.
Oh, no, you're going to speak. I mean, you have to just wait until you speak, and I'll be the last.
If you wouldn't mind, Mr. Pickering, just taking.
I'll speak first. That's
yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Thank you. I forgot who was first.
Benjamin Pickering. I just have a few things. I've been listening to this, and you know, dealing with you know with things and issues. I have a you know a few things to bring to the matter, but you know. You got the secret forces out there, you know, the tactics, the people that get dropped out of helicopters, and you got, you know, forces out there. And, you know, you got people, loved ones out there, and they're fighting for, you know, their loved ones out there, and, you know, and you got, and they do, you know, they come back from the war, and they, you know, they just kind of have that, you know, dramatic, you know, stage where they just, you know, they think, you know, whatever the deal is, they, where they live, but I mean, you know, I'm not, when I brought it to you guys, I just want to bring it to your attention. When I said, you know, the cops, you know, the worst firm out there, I didn't mean to say it like it was, you know, all cops are bad, you know, this and that. You know, they're just out there doing their job. They don't, they think they're doing the best thing for everybody, you know, which is it's cool, looking out for the people, the community, and driving and keeping the streets clean, you know, safe, you know, whether it's a call in or whatever, whatnot. But, you know, they just got to be worked on people's skills, too. But also, you know, I just want to bring to your attention, you know, anyway, you got a drink of water. Anyway, you know, there's always someone. You know, it's always occurs to people. You know, or something they don't know, and they learn off everybody. You know, that's what it's about. It's community. You know, sharing. You know, and knowing what love is. You know, and this is America. You know, it's not just here. It's everything. Everybody needs to be worked on. People's skills. You know, there's you know, there's a lot to develop. You know, we were all kids at once. You know, we all bickered. You know, we played two-hand touch football. You know, and you have sports playing softball, whatever the deal is. You know, everybody's up.
Sir,
in school.
Can I just interrupt you for one?
But
second?
The firm is what I'm trying to say. Question. Police brutality. I mean, it's pretty crazy out there. But the stories I've heard. I mean, it's pretty crazy. I mean, everybody's got kids and sons out there and daughters and everybody and loved ones. But for the most part. You know, police brutality, you know, I don't know how to say or tell anybody they're not doing their job right because I'm on disability. I don't have a job. But the firm of what I believe in is, you know, they need, you know, guidance too. I mean, everybody's child and kid at heart. But, I mean, sometimes, you know, you don't take things in your own actions when you don't know if it's the right thing to do. It could dramatize somebody that's been dramatized or either hurt or abused or someone has been raped or someone's been out there and they've been dealt with the things they deal with. But, I mean, to put their hands on them and throw them in cuffs and, you know, you're teaching them, you know, throwing them up and making it worse, they're thinking thoughts that, you know, they're radical. I mean, how dare-ish, you know? They're thinking that, you know, I mean, I hear it from the people and the things that I've dealt with. But, I mean, out there, you know, they got to know that compassion, that love and that faith And, you know, they're believing in that you guys are, you know, all you are, because we are. We are. But if we're acting like child kids and this and that and bickering back and forth, we ain't getting nowhere. But if there's a point of being, you know, is to just stand up, you know, listen to what someone has to say once in a while, then you might get a little somewhere. But, you know, I just have a few things to say, and I'm not even getting started yet. But this is just my first speech. But anyway, go ahead. Take over. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, by the way, my little brother Johnny in school, he's 11 years old. He just made the newspaper from being in a small town and being the biggest kid in school and not being a bully at school. Great. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. And we're in agreement and support this settlement. However, we do have some concerns, and let me tell you a story. Yesterday, when you were moving all the houses, people off your front lawn and your driveways and your sidewalks, there was a religious person, and he's not here now, so I'm not going to use his name, who decided he was not going to move, and he was going to challenge the police, and he had it was not in good health, just had a heart attack recently. So he was willing to give up some of his liberties so the rest of us could enjoy what we call democracy. And I decided to go with him. I would not let him go alone. We were arrested. We were taken down to the Justice Department, and we sat in the receiving room. But we were never handcuffed, which is very unusual. And I'm sure the chief just cringed. They came out about 2 hours later and said to us, we talked it over and we're not going to charge you or anything. You're free to go. The two officers acted, from the time we walked here to the Justice Department, acted very professional. And it's exactly, Mayor, where you want to go with your police department. They knew who I was. They knew I was an activist. But they were courteous. They knew that I have been a critic of the police department. They were professional. It's exactly where you want to go. The problem is, I asked myself the question, would they have treated me the same way if I was a man of color? And I don't know the answer to that question. And neither do the three of you white guys up there. You need to talk to your staff, who may be a person of color, and learn from them. Because I learn from people like Joanne and other people. But it's exactly where you want to go. You can build all the structure you want. You can have all the committees you want. If you don't have the goodwill and the professionalism in your police department, nothing you do is going to change that. And the chief's got to understand that. And if those two officers that I met yesterday, just that one incident, because I've met some police that were really not nice. That's where you want to go. That's what you got to strive for. And it's a win-win. You get the activists off your back, and you also have community spirit. And we need to trust our police department. And, boy, we got a long way to go. Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, my name is Tequila, and this is my significant other, Joel Severs. And I just want to say that, you know how I go. I just start rambling and whatever. And I'm going to keep my cool. But what I see is that, like, the officers that's in the room right now, I had a conversations with all of them. And to me, I don't like that, you know, professional. I never gave a problem. Very talkative. Community friendly, I would say. But the ones who's getting these complaints and everything, they don't have to sit in this room and hear us criticize and everything else, because to me, I mean, why would a good police officer tell on a bad police officer who's doing these crimes excuse me, who's doing these, doing the crimes, what they're doing, when they know they'll just be rehired back, and all of a sudden they're the snitch of the department or anything like that. And that's what, I mean, pretty much, and what I'm going to go about as, I just wanted to say that, and my significant other, he's been diagnosed with fetal alcohol syndrome. He had plenty of problems in his past, that's for sure, even with the police department, with himself dealing with going on check and knowing about his diagnosis. He was released of custody from unable to aid to assist. And pretty much unable to aid to assist. He has a low IQ and everything else. Well, this morning on the sidewalk, he receives, which the officer who wrote this, which I know is one of the bad ones, which I won't mention his name, that knows his condition, gave him a pedestrian zone because his blanket was an inch off of the sidewalk of Wells Fargo. And for this paper is saying, it says warning. To me, it says warning, here we go again. And right here in the back, pedestrian, none of the sidewalk use rules applies to a person. And number two, unable to comply due to physical or mental incapacitations, excuse me. He got a low IQ and everything, and they know this. And they know what I've been through and everything, and they're still picking. And that's how we got in this argument, this big ordeal for over a year now, over a trespass 2 ticket, because of this picking. And to me, if this is the way you're going to start it, this is the wrong path, because this is not going to be good. And I just want to know that we're homeless due to no fault of our own. You know, bureaucracy, blah, 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 you know this. And pretty much I've seen me for the past year, and I hear the staff of the buildings know my name and everything. And as a protester, you know, usually I clean up my mess and everything like this. And I just want to know before I leave, because it's very hard to find an apartment here, I just want to know if I can have you can help the homeless by, basically, I need some references, and I just want to see if one of the board members that knew me at least over a year or Chief Reese can write me a reference for an apartment.
Thanks very much.
Okay.
Thanks for coming.
Okay. Can I get an answer for that one?
We'll get you connected to services.
I don't think that.
Oh, we got Chad's card. We got Chad's card.
I don't know that us writing you a reference would be of any assistance in that case. But if you want to stop by my office, you can. I don't know if you have a copy of the Rose City Resource Guide, but there are. We can, as the mayor said, we can help you.
I mean, your references will be off the hook. I'm pretty sure it can help.
This is a
democracy. I mean, y'all been knowing me for a while. Y'all know I don't cause too much trouble.
It doesn't work that way, that the council says find this person a home and then somebody.
No, unless they find us at a reference.
We don't need a recovery center.
No.
We're just trying to find a trailer, an apartment somewhere.
Yeah, and the reference is saying that basically they clean up their mess behind and get up.
$350 a month in
the
city.
We can try to get you connected to services. That's probably more valuable. Probably more valuable than a reference from one of us. Thanks for coming. We'll get you connected to service.
All right. Well, thank you. I'll have a talk with you, Amanda.
Thank you.
That's funny.
Okay. Thank
that's
you all.
Funny. Okay.
No, you got some more folks?
After. So I can leave now?
You can leave.
Okay. Cool.
Okay.
I have Teresa Roberts, Mary Eng, Barry Joe Stahl.
Barry Joe.
And you didn't sign up, Crystal.
Okay, if you're ready to go ahead and start, go ahead. Mary, are you ready? Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Great to see you guys, City Council. Okay, here. Okay, I've got a ton of ideas, so we're going to go really fast. So hang on to your hats. Let's see. We need a neurodiversity acceptance movement. It seems like mental illness is this word anybody can bandy about anyone they don't like, people they disagree with. There is a neurodiversity acceptance movement that is overtaking the world, and primarily because a lot of the neurodiversity activists are highly talented programmers and writers and thinkers. So they're talking about, why do we have to be called disabled? Why do we have to be called mentally ill? It's come to have an epithetical connotation in some circles. So I just want you to think about that, neurodiversity acceptance. I want to invite you to my birthday party. I'll get you the address, or I don't know, if I gave my address, would I be killed like Nancy Bergeson or Jamie Larson? Because I kind of want to invite the whole city to the birthday party and like have a block party. Okay, we have one vegan cake so far. 6313 Southeast 92nd Avenue, Portland,